message I would like to relay, that it's completely normal to not always be okay. We often get caught in this pressure to look perfect, to never show what's beneath the surface. Let me point you to the one who's been through it all. He's promised to hear your cries, no matter how small. Jesus left his Father and the only life he'd known to be born.
Kids are gonna take off. Lyle, I'm gonna get down about 2. You'll be okay? 2 o'clock? Revelation 20. Okay, we've been going through God's calendar of the future, and his calendar keeps marching on no matter what's going on down here. I have a little yellow paper that kind of has it charted out in case you didn't have it from the past. So if you would like a copy, Brother Joe has them. So over here, Joe. Yeah, you got them. To your left. So this is a pretty quick, brief overview about God's calendar of the future. Originally, I thought I was going to do this in one Sunday, and I think we're on the 12th right now, about something like that. I don't know. I just keep throwing extra stuff in there. In your Bible, Revelation 20, when you go to the back of the Bible, you're going with the back of time, obviously. And the Lord writes history backwards. So Revelation 20, And if you would, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this. Help us to, because we have foreknowledge of your plans, that we might be better prepared. It's no different than a coach scouting another team, trying to be prepared. And we're just kind of getting your calendar that you have laid out. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Revelation 20. This would be the first time my dad watches me from a skybox seats. So, gonna really be on my best behavior. So, wonderful dad. Okay, Revelation 20, if you kind of skim down through the first seven verses, you'll see the words 1,000 years 6 times. And so this is the next thing on God's calendar. Okay, right now, we're sitting in the church time period, so we got to finish that up, and it's going to finish up pretty raunchy. And then waiting for a shout called a pre-tribulation rapture, waiting to get out of here. Then born-again believers go to the judgment seat. And then everything falls apart down here on earth. I mean, it's going to be hell on earth for 6 or 7 years. Then there's a judgment of the nations of people that during the tribulation time period, depending on how they treated Jewish people. And I do believe that's going to be a very, very small number of sheep. Very small. But still, there's going to be a few. And then you have 1,000-year, greatest time on earth, 1,000-year millennium of the Lord's kingdom. And then at the end, at verse 7, 8, 9, if you kind of skim down through there, there's going to be one last hurrah of the devil. But the Lord only gives him 4 verses, so it's going to be a quickie. It's going to be a boom, you're out of here. And evolutionists tell us that things began with a big bang, but no, it's going to end with a big bang. And so that would be him, and he gets fired, or as they say down south, he gets farred. Okay, and so then verse 11 is a court date that will be taking place. Okay, there are 2 major court dates, and it would be similar to like a civil court versus criminal court or state court versus federal. And so you want to choose the right court to go to. And if you're, as a person that's alive today, you want to make sure you hit the judgment seat of Christ court. That's the one you want to go to. If you're not ready for that, if you don't go to that one, you're heading to this one, and that's not going to be a pretty picture. So, and the choice is yours. You could file your case in the right court. So in verse 11, this is the white throne judgment. And he says, I saw a great throne, a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose the face of the earth and the heaven fled away. So, boom, they're gone. Earth and heaven, a big explosion. And there was found no place for them. Okay, what about the ones under the earth and all that stuff? Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So there's 2 types of death. Okay, first is the natural, the second is the supernatural. And then 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Okay, so this is known as the great white throne judgment. The majority of people, when they talk about that, they think all of these people are lost or unrighteous, but that's not the case. Okay, why would they look in a book of life if they were all? There would be no need for that. So there's something going on here. And so to understand some things in the Bible, we got to kind of see why it's there, and we go backwards. Now, Revelation has a parallel in the Old Testament. The parallel is Daniel. Okay, so Daniel 7. So we're going to go through some scriptures to kind of slow down and read some scripture. If you want to go back to Daniel 11, if you want to try to keep up with me, try not to get a speeding ticket. Like my dad did when he was 14 years old. He'd been driving for 6 years. So, Daniel 7, verse 9. So this would be the parallel. This is the what Jewish people understand. And so when you read through the Bible is a very confusing book if you do not learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's a very confusing book if you don't get that technique. And the Lord Jesus introduced that technique in Luke chapter 4 at the second major, the second time where a play-by-play account of the devil in action is given. The first one is Genesis 3 with the first Adam, and the second time is in Luke 4 with the last Adam. So the first is the beginning of the Old Testament, the second is the beginning of the New Testament. So in Daniel 7, he says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool." You'll see that mentioned in Revelation 1. So that way we know we're on the same wavelength here. This is where we get the custom, we in Australia and England get the custom where the guy puts the rug on his head, the attorneys or judges. America has dropped that custom, but in Australia, if you go to court, you want to think, what do you got that possum on your head for? I don't know why you got that there. But this is where they come up with this idea. And it says, "His throne was like the fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire." And so the common saying, he's a big wheel. "And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." So a one-tenth, the general rule, to minister to the Lord. That would be the witnesses and the court reporters and stuff going on. And then 10,000 times 10,000 being judged. "The judgment was set and the books were opened." Okay, and that's the books that Revelation 20 writes about. So this is a final judgment for all righteous people from Adam until the end of the millennium, with the exception of born-again people. Born-again people have their own judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It takes place during the tribulation. So all righteous and then all unrighteous or lost people from Adam until the end of the millennium. So that's the crowd that's being judged there at this judgment according to Revelation 20. Now, where you get this idea is you got to kind of come through the Jewish mindset a little bit. So if you would go to John 5, we're going to read some passages here so we can understand fully what's going on. Now, remember that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember that story, he went on top of this mountain. He was transfigured, picturing the second coming. Peter, James, and John was with him. Moses and Elijah showed up. And when he was coming down from the mountain, Jesus said to the apostles, "Now, don't you tell anybody what you just saw until after the resurrection." Now, wouldn't that have been a tough one? And he said, "You could tell them after I've risen from the dead." Now, the phrase was "from the dead." And just in passing, he threw that out to them. And they're like, "What is that?" All they knew was "of the dead." This was a new idea. He just threw it out just in talk. And they wanted to ask questions. They're afraid to ask a question. They said, "We've been asking so many questions." He's going to say, "You dumb thumps, just listen to me." And so they didn't ask the question. But still the idea, what is from the dead? What is that? We know of the dead. Here's what they knew. John 5, verse 27. And it says, "And hath given him," the Father hath given him, Jesus, "authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man." So Jesus is going to be that judge. And then he said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, does that mean what that said? Most certainly does. Okay, one has done good, one has done evil. Not right or wrong, done good, done evil. Okay, and that's the revelation passage he's talking about. That's all the Jews knew. Now, we're reading a book that is in the New Testament, but the doctrines of this is Old Testament, Jewish doctrine, because the New Testament didn't begin officially until the death of the testator, Jesus Christ. So that's till Matthew or John 20 in this one. Okay, now let's see if we can get this little more information of this. If you would hold your finger here in John, we'll come back to it. I'm going to jump to Acts 24. Now, the book of Acts is a difficult book. A lot of people are confused with it. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's a transition from Judaism to Christianity. Now, Paul is resorting backwards to Judaism, and he's going to reinforce this idea of the understanding of Jewish people. Jewish people do not know anything about the Godhead, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. They don't know anything about the church. They don't know anything about the judgment seat of Christ. It's not saying they're dumb. It's just that God didn't reveal that to them. He revealed that to us through Paul. In Acts 24, he reinforces this idea in verse 5. And he says, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection," notice, "of the dead," not from, "of the dead, both of the just and unjust." So there we go. So Acts 24:15, if I got the right reference for you. So that's Revelation 20. Now, if you want to go back to John 6, let's see if we can get a little more information of this. John 6, verse 39. And this is what Jewish people understood. And so the Lord has different ideas, different doctrines for the church today. And so in John 6, 39, it says, "And this is the Father's will." Now, for the Jewish people, they didn't know anything about the Father. They knew him as the Lord. So that's what they knew. "But this is the Father's will, which hath sent me," the Son, Jesus Christ, "that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it again at the last day." So we got them two words, the last day. The last day is Revelation 20. He reinforces it. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Revelation 20. He repeats that, verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Kind of a broken record. Verse 54. Okay, now 53 to 56 is where the Roman church thinks that they get authority for the Mass occur. They do not read 57, and they do not read 63, which explains 53 to 56. In 54, he said, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Okay, another time. Let's try in chapter 11. This is a story of Lazarus. Okay, Lazarus had two sisters by name in the Bible. I don't know if they only had three kids in the family, but we know the three: Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Okay, Lazarus died. Okay, and then somebody sent a message: "Jesus Christ, Lazarus is sick," and then he told the apostles, "Oh, he's going to die." And then he waited. Jesus Christ waited four more days. It's like, why didn't he just run over there? No, he waited 4 days. And the reason why, in Jewish culture, they believe that when a person dies, that their spirit hangs around for 3 days. And I don't know, just seeing the lay of the land, I don't know what they're doing. And after 3 days, then they, okay, I guess I'm really departed, so then they take off. That's what they teach, and that's why the Lord waited 4 days. He wanted to make sure they got this. He even used their culture, even though they're wrong. We have a great promise in the New Testament. When you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Amen. I mean, that's how quick it is. Okay, in John 11, okay, Martha and Mary obviously are weeping because her brother died. And then Jesus comes and he talks to Martha. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We read every verse in the Bible that referred to last day. So that's what she understood. And then Jesus is going to give her some more information. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what makes Christianity, biblical Christianity, unique. Totally one of many things. He that believeth in me, though yet he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. Physically? Well, we know he's not talking about physical death because people die. Spiritually is that second death. And then he says, believest thou this, Mary, Martha, you believe this? And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. It's like, sure, I believe that, but I don't get it. Okay, and that's a lot of times things in life. Okay, then John 12, 48, one more place, John 12, on this last day, I forgot to read this one, John 12, 48. One of those books in that judgment is going to be a Bible. Complete copy of the Bible. Okay, and we know it to be 66 books of the Bible. I don't know if the Lord's going to add more in a millennium. I have no idea. He can do as he wishes, but now it's 66. And verse 48, he said this, John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Okay, so you got a test coming up. So shouldn't we be reading this book to figure out what we need to be ready for? And that's why we're fanatics about this book. Okay, judgment. If you've ever talked to a person who was an atheist, an atheist, you gotta, when you talk to people, you gotta figure out why they claim to believe what they believe. And sometimes people, accept atheism because of some tragedy in their life, and they just have a difficult time, and so it simplifies in their mind. Okay, there's just not a God. But if you could take talking to them, and as soon as a person believes in some form of justice. Okay, so maybe somebody broke into their house, maybe somebody offended them, and they come up with the idea, there's some justice that needs to be done. Right then is you know that God has enlightened their conscience. Because there is no justice in nature. None whatsoever. If they believe they evolved from a monkey or from an amoeba, man says that we started in a puddle and we're evolving to paradise. The Bible says we started in paradise and we're devolving into a puddle. As soon as they believe in some form of justice, that is evidence that God has revealed himself to their conscience. Take that opportunity, okay, and say, why do you believe there should be justice? Why? Well, it's because there's a morality. Where do you come up with that idea? You got that from God. There's a God. You see, and now if they're a young person, often they're just joking around with it, the idea of atheism. Okay, but you can discount those things. But people come to conclusions for different reasons, but yet you recognize maybe the pain that they have. You try to help them through that. Okay, but even the idea, justice, evidence or a desire for any form of justice is evidence that someone's conscience knows there's a God. They may not say it here, they know it here. And you want to kind of capitalize on that idea. Okay, now this final justice in Revelation 20 will be the complete and final justices of all offenses throughout history. A lot of times people want to see it here on earth. But you know, most offenses will not be taken place, or the justice will not take place on earth. For every murder that someone has actually been executed for their murder, there are probably 1,000 that do not face justice here. They will at the white throne. That's where all judgment is done and taken care of, and God is going to remedy everything right there in his time. Okay, if you would try Romans chapter 2. This is what Paul revealed. Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 5, he says this. But after thy hardness and impudent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. People are angry. They're mad at God. When things don't go according to their schedule, they're mad at God for it. They don't blame the devil. They don't look at themselves. They're mad at God for it. And they treasure up the wrath. The Lord's going to take care of it in due time. He might do it here. He might wait and do it at the white throne. But he's going to do it in his due time. I know we want to go a little faster. The wheels of justice turn slow. The Lord is going to reward victims of offenses for the believer at the judgment seat, for the ones, the righteous of the white throne judge. He's going to reward the victims there, and he's going to punish the perpetrators there. We're going to find out everything that's going on. If you would, try Matthew 10, 26. Matthew 10, 26. Now, this statement is recorded in Mark and Luke also. So this statement is recorded 3 times. God places emphasis on it. A lot of times people see the injustices that are taking place in the world and are trying to figure out, what is this? What is this? And then when you try to figure it out, you're called a conspiracy theorist. All the secrecy. Noah was a conspiracy theorist, but then it rained. He was proven right. He told them, people, don't miss the boat. But they didn't have the sense of coming out of the rain. And so a lot of this hidden stuff that's behind the scenes, yeah, conspiracy theorists try to investigate it, this and this and this, and they're called conspiracy theorists, and that's intended to scare people not to research it. Well, look what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10, verse 26. He says, fear not them, or fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. That white throne judgment is going to be very interesting for the spectators. Oh, that's where they put Jimmy Hoffa. In the Meadowlands, in the concrete. Oh, that's what's behind the scenes going on in these political, you know, fundraisers and stuff. Oh, that's what's going on in the Bible revisers, what these guys are messing with God's book. I see what they're doing. Now, the Lord might give you insight here, and that's fine. That just gives us a little understanding, but the Lord's just plodding along in his plans. Now, that statement is also recorded in Mark, also recorded in Luke. All the conspiracies and all the secrecies that man thinks he's hiding, God is going to put it right in the open. Oh, how's that going to work? And you know, this idea of this judgment, born-again believers are going to have an opportunity in this judgment as spectators, but he might call you as a witness. If you witness to somebody and they rejected the gospel and they hit this judgment, the Lord said, do you remember on such and such day that so-and-so talked to you about such and such, about the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't remember that. Do I have a witness? On that such and such day, you have recall what that happens. Hillary's I don't recall, it's not going to work at this time. Here comes a witness to testify. Lord said, you got anything to say? And if he's wise at that time, he's going to say, guilty. Going to call a witness. We're going to be able to testify again. If you would, look in 1 Corinthians 6. This is going to be an interesting time for born-again believers. 1 Corinthians 6. So, for a person who's alive today, you most certainly want to make sure you go to the judgment seat of Christ. And how is that arranged? Get born again. Amen. Believe in the Lord. The worst thing that can happen there is heaven. That's the worst thing. You can make it better by rewards and stuff like that. At the white throne judgment, the best thing that can happen is hell. And so in 1 Corinthians 6, the issue took place in this carnal church about some people going to, you know, court against each other. And the Lord threw an idea out in a form, or Paul threw an idea out in the form of questions. And in verse 1, he said, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Okay, so a question. Then he said this. This question, even though it's a question, is in the form of a statement. But even at that, he says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Wow. You know, you live your life here and you're trying to live a holy life. And you know, people say to you, you're so judgmental. You're so self-righteous. You know, you can't read my heart while I'm doing what I'm doing. On the streets often when you hold up scripture signs, people say, well, you're judging. And I'll look at them and say, then, is that wrong? Yeah, that's wrong. The Bible says you're not supposed to judge. Then why are you judging me? Because that's what you're doing. You're judging me. Or you can play a trick like Mike did one time where he knew this girl was going to say, you're judging. So he beat her to the punch. He said, you're judging me. And just let her think about it for a while because that's what they're doing. The world judges you and I. There's going to be a day. Turn around is fair play. And we're going to have the mind of God at that time. We're going to have the mind of God because we've gone through the judgment seat of Christ. And we're miniature Jesus Christ. He said, don't you know we're going to judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And then notice the next question, which is a statement. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? What's that? You mean you and I are going to judge angels? How are we going to do that? I mean, wasn't that something? Well, it says in the Bible that angels in Genesis 6 left their first estate and became flesh. So here these beings in heaven, spirit beings, get blood, become flesh to cohabit with women. And it's like, are you nuts? I was talking to a couple Mormon boys years ago. They looked young, even though their dad said they were elderly. They said they were elders, and I always ask them, how do you look so young? You're elders. And then I usually ask them what tribe they're from. They always say Ephraim. Ephraim's not in the New Testament, and that's a whole nother game. And so here's these couple young men in my living room, and I'm trying to show them how the new birth is a gift. Being born again is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. And I said, like the first time when you were born, what'd you do to get born? And that kid said to me, I decided to get born. Now, that was a first on me. I said, you did? What'd you do, push on mama's womb and, you know, say, hey, I went out of here? Did you send a message? How'd you do that? He said, I was in the spirit world. Chose to become flesh. I said, you did? That's a new one on me. I said, where'd you come up with that one? He said, the book of Moses. Really? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? I've read through that several times, never read that. He said, no, the book of Moses. I said, there's another one. Yeah. I said, you got a copy with you? No. Man. And I said to him, you know, I know the Bible teaches that when spirits leave, angels who are spirits in their original state, when they leave that habitation, take on flesh, man, they are doomed to hell. There is no second chance you make that dumb decision. You left golden streets of heaven for asphalt down here? And when they kind of felt like this guy's a nutcase, I can't help him anymore, and they head to the door, you know, I don't say Godspeed to him or God bless you. I said, now, remember, before you walk out this door, you chose to leave the spirit world to become flesh. You got a pretty bad future in front of you, pal. And I'm offering you something better. Out the door they go. We get to judge angels. Maybe that celebrity that people admire is not what you think it is. Maybe that celebrity that has deceived people, and you see them in their real state at that white throne judgment, you could simply say, you dirty dog. You had no conscience. You didn't care. You hated these people. You damned their soul, and God's going to damn you right now. Boy, we could throw that out at them. And maybe some of them, you've read through your Bible, and it says in 2 Corinthians, marvel not, for Satan himself transforms himself an angel of light. No big deal. Spirit beings can appear fleshly and all that stuff. So what? I mean, kids play with transformers, don't they? Transformers. It was a car. It's now a man. The devil's crowd has to tell us. They have to tell us what they're doing. And if we have eyes to see, we get to judge angels at the white throne judgment. Whoo, isn't that going to be entertaining? Because we're going to have the mind of Christ, perfectly flawless. So in the day we're living in, and you get born again, you transfer your court date, you can transfer it to another court. Judgment seat of Christ, free. You just make the motion. Lord, I believe in you. And the Lord said, oh, we just transferred everything over here. Now, here. Now, if you love me and you serve me faithfully, I'm going to give you some rewards. He said, man, isn't that a good deal? You want to make sure you're at that one. That's for sure. And that's all by belief in Jesus Christ. That's why it's a gift. It's a free gift. Nothing better than that. So here we got in the Lord's calendar, you got that 1,000-year reign. At the end, the devil gets one last hurrah. And then a white throne. And man, then we live happily ever after. We're looking forward to that day. All a free gift in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see your mercy, your grace, all paid by Jesus Christ. Nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. Man is busy trying to work away. Well, if they're going to trust in their works, then Revelation 20 is going to be that place they're going. And like Isaiah said, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's why we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be born again, and make sure that we believe in him and him alone for eternal life. I'm so thankful it's not probationary life. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Believe in Jesus Christ with all our hearts. Like that eunuch did, that Ethiopian eunuch. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I pray that if by chance someone in here hasn't believed in the Lord, that they might see how easy it is. Belief in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can piano play.